Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Ted Dixon, CEO and co-founder of InkResearch.ca, Canada's first online financial news and research service, providing insider news and knowledge to investors. His website, CanadianInsider.com, home of the Canadian Insider Club. Welcome back to the show, Ted.
Jim, thanks for having me back.
Ted, you wanted to talk about mining today. So you mentioned there's kind of a dark side to it and a brighter side. Well, let's go to the dark side first. You ran across some situations in the last 4 months. What are they and why are they so dark?
Well, I thought we should talk about both sides of the mining industry because I think actually the fall is shaping up to be a period of potential opportunity there. But we want to be realistic about the risks and the rewards. So let's talk about some of the risks out there and what we've been seeing lately that has us concerned. We've seen two companies in the last 4 months in the battery metal space where senior executives have been late in their insider filings, that they dumped filings that went back for more than a year, and this is not a good look. And I mean, basically, you're supposed to file your transactions within 5 days in Canada, and there's always going to be some administrative situations where, you're late or you forgot or, once or like random, right? Like everyone's human. I make mistakes in my job all the time. But when there is kind of a major sort of, here's a year, two, three, 5 years of filings that we didn't file, the company should provide an explanation, right? Like, yes, it's probably not, it's going to be having to cough up, some honest mea culpas, but that's okay, right? Like silence in this case is not golden. Taking the fifth does not instill confidence. But being honest and just saying, look, we made a mistake, or we didn't, this was sloppy on our part. We fixed our systems. We're not going to happen again. Be upfront with your investors. Don't just kind of slide it. Don't say anything. We'll pay the fine because there are fines associated with it, but they're not that big. And so the company can go a long way just by addressing what happened and then moving on and saying, we're going to do a better job next time, all right? But when you don't hear anything, that's a bad sign. So that's why I bring it up. If you come across a situation where a company has dumped, an insider has dumped a lot of late filings and there's no explanation why, let's just say you've identified some smoke there. So that's the financing side. So I call kind of the dark side, what to be on the lookout for is what we call, 2FC. 2FA is two-factor authentication on your mobile device, right? Or, your app to keep you secure. Well, 2FC is, I think, something to keep a look at in mining. So the first is filings. The second is financing. Keep an eye on, how the financing strategies of the juniors are going. Just, basically without getting into a lot of detail. I think we're getting into a decent period for mining. Often you'll see these financings hit with flow-throughs with warrants and or deals with really attractive warrants. Okay, the excuse that this is a lousy market doesn't cut it now. Okay, so what you want to look for in financing is the ability of management to cut good deals, right? Yes, financings are a fact of life, but if you're doing a flow through, especially I think in the battery metal space, why do you need warrants in this market? Well, I think it indicates maybe the asset is not so good, right? That's a signal. If you have to do a really, generous financing with generous warrants with flow throughs, well, maybe the asset's not so hot, right? Or maybe the management's not so hot in negotiating these deals. Either way, you got to be careful. Like, Jim, the junior mining sector has often been characterized as a Wild West. I would take it one step further. I think it's the jungle, okay? It's the survival of the fittest, okay? You want to bet on the lions, not the hot money baby impalas, right? So you want to be able to find those teams that, are tried and true through bad markets, that manage to maintain loyal shareholder bases, and, don't just, do flow through financings at lower prices or any prices. Like if they're doing flow throughs and every round is a higher price, that's a good sign. If they're happening all the time at any price, that's not a good sign. So just be very careful and be very mindful of that. I think if it's a lousy financing, what is that signaling about the firm? And the other, the C part, so we got filings, financing, consulting. Okay, so you have to watch for the related party transactions. That means to say, how much money is the company sending to other companies that are owned, have a relationship with insiders. This is a common practice in the mining industry, but what you want to see is that there's value there, right? So that it makes sense, right? Like you do have to do geological work. You do need to have some kind of office space, and often these are related party transactions. So long as the amounts are reasonable, okay, that's fine. If they look a little lumpy for what's been happening at the company, well, then that's another story, right? Maybe that's, that's some smoke as well. And the big one are PR deals, okay? And nothing alerts me more than seeing, one of these news releases come out, oh, we're spending $5,000 a month on so and such a firm to raise awareness of our stock. Okay. To me, that's a huge, huge, where there's smoke, there's fire. Okay. Now, if they're doing a PR deal, that's something granular, like we're doing X amount of dollars and we're doing video production because the CEO, wants to get out there and do videos. Junior mining companies aren't video production firms. So, if you've got tangible examples of what is the money is being spent on, and, at the end of the day, I think it is a CEO's job or, an executive at the firm's job to raise awareness of the company and the project. It's not, that should not be outsourced to a PR firm. When you see that happening, I think that requires a high degree of healthy skepticism towards what's, the strategy of the firm and whether that's really going to help generate a project that provides economic value. So look out for the two FC filings, make sure they're on time, they're done properly, the financings, that they make sense, that, if you're doing flow-throughs, they're being done at higher prices, and consulting, watch those consulting contracts.
We'll have more with Ted Dixon right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Ted Dixon on the lighter side of mining, or brighter or more optimistic. You say there's lots of opportunities for Canadian miners to take advantage of, I think, is what's the world's biggest trend, and that's going to EVs and the batteries that are going to power them.
Right. This is the light side of mining. And, Jim, I've been covering the space since 2004 at Inc. Research. And, at the risk of kind of being accused of hyperbole, I think we're at a point that has the offering of most opportunity I've ever seen. And you know, we had a bit of some excitement back in 2011 in the gold space when QE started, or 2010. But that was short-circuited, I believe, you know, really when they brought in Operation Twist, that kind of deflated everything. This is different. Now we've got with the Inflation Reduction Act that was just signed by Joe Biden this month, we now have the money, Washington, you know, taxpayer money, being funneled in big amounts to support both the assembly of electric vehicles in North America and the sourcing of battery minerals from U.S. trade allies. That is a big deal. Like, and these are not inconsequential amounts. These are huge amounts. I believe the EV tax credit, like $7,500, up to $7,500 per vehicle. There's all sorts of conditions with each tax credit, but generally we've got a major deal that's going to be in place for the next 10 years. And as we move that towards the 10th year, you know, the battery metals component requirements of being sourced from U.S. trade allies become stricter and stricter, and I believe it's 2029 where 100% must be sourced from U.S. allies. Well, Canada is very well positioned. TSX Venture, CSE Venture, you know, NEO, all these Canadian exchanges, TSX, you know, they have mining companies that are in this business. So this is a great opportunity for Canadian investors to look for companies that are now working to meet a demonstrated need, right? So this is speculation about, well, maybe there'll be a need for lithium. No, right? We know that the IEA, the International Energy Agency, you know, has come out, you know, and, you know, suggested, right, that lithium production needs to increase like by sixfold, right? By 2030 to meet the expected demand for electric vehicles. So this is a real opportunity based off of not only demonstrated demand, but you've also now got the policies in place in America to drive demand, and also it's got an industrial policy component that favors Canada and Canadian miners. So, and what are the two really, really hot jurisdictions in this area? Well, I'd say it's Quebec and it's Nevada, right? And we have Canadian companies. We cover them in Inc. Research. We've been covering them a lot as this Inflation Reduction Act gained momentum. You know, this came out of the blue late July. And we thought, wow, this is something. Like, this is a game changer. And it's a game changer that at this level, I've not seen this kind of mix, policy mix and demand mix come together at a point when, in fact, we're at a point in the market where there's still a lot of fear. So the prices of these stocks are, you know, at least at the beginning of the month of August, weren't that expensive. You know, we've gone through all this fear about the Fed's raising rates. And so a lot of mining shares, a lot of shares in the market, regardless of the industry, have been hit. Well, yes, the Fed has been raising rates, but let's be serious here. It's 2.25%. And pick your inflation number. The inflation's still 6, 7, 8, 9%. I mean, there's all various measures of inflation. But we still have negative real short-term rates. So, yeah, no, things are not as loose. Money is not as free-flowing from the central banks as they were a year ago. You know, and there's not the same kind of fiscal support, broadly speaking. What I mean by that, like, the governments aren't sending checks to everybody like they were, not, well, to a lot of people like they were a year or two ago. But they're still in the business of supporting the electric vehicle industry, and apparently the Biden administration is going to be supporting some students with student loan debt. So, like, there are still these pockets of support, but the big one, of course, is the EV support under the Inflation Reduction Act. It's a real game changer. It's a real game changer for Canadian miners. You know, so I really think that now, I like this wall of worry, the fact that you've got the Fed and people all worrying about, you know, stock market crash and depression and deflation and, you know, and, oh, everybody, you know, like, you know, I can't go a day without hearing about how the U.S. is in recession and how, you know, vulnerable the market is. And that's fine. Look, this is, you know, we put out a piece at the beginning of the week, you know, bullish beyond the business cycle, right? That was our market update. I mean, look, you know, yes, there's going to be volatility. There's going to be drawdowns. Maybe the U.S. is in a recession. Maybe it's heading for a recession. We don't know. But what we're looking at are themes that are going to persist beyond any dip in the business cycle. And we're on a decade track now to build out, to transform the auto industry. Look, housing and auto, those are the two biggest industries, in North America, right? Like that's like in terms of driving economic activity. And so autos are the second, you know, after housing, that is the most important. And it's all going through a transformation, and we have Canadian mining stocks that are well positioned in, you know, the primary stages of that transition. So, you know, we're keeping our eye open for it. We're looking for the teams that have track records, and, you know, we're looking at what insiders do. Are they backing the project with their own money? And we, you know, we're keeping an eye on that 2FC, dark side in every situation. To just hopefully manage our risks here, because it's a very risky proposition, you know, no risk, no reward. This is not for the faint of hearted. And again, you're going to just hear so much doom and gloom, coming from macro analysts and perma bears. It's going to be deafening, all the bad news and stats that you hear. But, if you're willing to look through that and deal with the down and, you know, and you believe in the opportunity with the electric vehicle story, then, you know, these pullbacks that come will be buying opportunities, right? And, you know, of course, diversification is key. Some projects will do very well. Other projects will flop, just the nature of mining, right? Like, you could have the best management team in the world. If the deposit's not economical, it's not going to work, right? That's why you need diversification, but you know, you also want to have the good management team. You want to increase your odds of winning in, you know, in which I think, you know, it has come out of the blue. This has been an opportunity that's just kind of really been resurrected over the past 6 weeks. So here we are, and you know, it's something that we're hoping will, you know, kind of be transformational here in the junior market. It's, you know, we've been waiting a long time for something that would kickstart the junior market, and I think maybe we have it.
The focus always seems to be lithium, but Canada also supplies things like lead, zinc, nickel, copper. Those are all very necessary battery materials. Will those mining sectors pick up as well?
Hopefully. You know, you're right, right? I mean, lithium, I think right now, has been in the spotlight, but, you know, nickel and cobalt are also... copper are also expected to be in high demand. I mean, you know, a lot depends, you know, on the technologies that evolve on in the battery side. Copper has, you know, also the distinction, though, of being tied to other sectors. So right now, you know, you've got this gloom over China housing. And people say, well, you're not going to manage copper for that. So, I mean, you've got those crosswinds. The fact of the matter is, though, that, look, cobalt, where's the big source for cobalt? It's, you know, Africa. Well, that's not part of, you know, that U.S. free trade, the trade agreement ally, circle that's targeted under the Inflation Reduction Act. So car makers are going to have to get their cobalt from places like, you know, Canada, United States, you know, those countries that have agreements with U.S. So yes, it's, you know, keep your eye on those as well. It's, you know, they've kind of been in the shadows of lithium, but, with any luck, they'll be the ones that move next, right? You got the lithium stocks, I think, are having a nice run here. Hopefully some of the other battery metal stocks will move, you know, in the next phase here.
Ted, going to geopolitics now, the Chancellor of Germany and Prime Minister Trudeau met up. Nothing about LNG exports to Europe to help them wean off Russian fossil fuels. Instead, a non-binding agreement to provide hydrogen in 3 or 4 or 10 years. There's no exact timeline on that either. Would you have rather have seen some kind of an LNG agreement?
Well, I did see a story that the German Chancellor Scholz did indicate that Canada was a preferred LNG partner. So, I mean, from what I saw, Germany seemed, the German government may actually be more keen on the whole thing than the Trudeau government. And I think there's a reason, the reason for that, I think you can see from the German perspective, look, you know, they're getting a lot of their LNG from the U.S., but they don't want to be, you know, they've just gone through a movie of being overly dependent on one country, Russia. You know, it makes sense for them to diversify. Canada's not, you know, we don't carry a big stick on the global stage. And for a country like Germany, that's a good thing, right, if they're getting their LNG from us. So I don't, I think there is still hope for East Coast LNG, although, you know, it would be, the prospects would be much better if you had a federal government that was all in on it. And my gut instinct is that there's some kind of split in the Trudeau government over this. You've got some players that want to go for it and others maybe who have had, you know, bad remember the bad experience with the Trans Mountain pipeline expansion? Look, these are apples and oranges. One's natural gas, the other is oil. But, you know, politicians are politicians. They make calculus based off of popularity and the like. So we'll see. I think I'm cautiously optimistic, but not overly optimistic on East Coast LNG. You know, I think the mining opportunities, I have a higher conviction there. But look, you know, I wouldn't say Canada East Coast LNG is dead by a long shot. Instead, you know, I think it's still, I still think it's possible. So we will have to see, though. We will have to see how the federal government, if they play ball, if they, you know, they should show some backbone and help with the pipeline that's needed, right? Let's do some nation building here. Come on, let's get on with it.
Ted, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Jim, thanks for having me back, and thanks for everyone listening in.
My guest has been Ted Dixon, CEO and co-founder of InkResearch.ca, his website, CanadianInsider.com. If you have any questions for Ted or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.